Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Mark and Kitchen.
Big reason why we were able to get this far. Just, you know, the way they conduct their business, their professionalism, how they approach training. Just everything you need to be a good pro. And they're doing their best to pass it on to the young guys and pay it forward. And, you know, hopefully the next generation of Bruins are their equals in that department.
No one lives forever. No one. But with advances in modern science, my high level income, I mean, it's not crazy to think I can't live to be 245, maybe 300.
Well, there wasn't much to say. There's nothing I can really say in this moment, I believe, other than I was proud of them. They should walk out of here with their heads up. That's it. There's no long speech. There just isn't.
How about I just go eat some hay? I can make things out of clay and lay by the bay. I just may.
On Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Maybe next year there'll be more fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. I'm actually looking forward to Kyrie leaving.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that team that I'm going to see next year on the court. Fun, effective, harmonious. I want to see all those things because I got so tired of this team. This team sucked this year. I hated watching them. I hated listening to them.
I'm not like my old man. I'm a kind and gentle, compassionate human being with a heart as big as a lion. We'll see you later, Juice Box. Everyone wave goodbye to Juice Box. Literally wave. Do it. Here's two.
But things started to really change this year. Now, obviously, because certain things happen, you know, Gordon Hayward comes back, but he's not quite the same player, not close to being the same player. The younger guys maybe take a step back or two or think they deserve a bigger part of what's going on.
With Gordon Hayward, that'll be that. Look out next year when the Capitals back. Danny's the man at the balancing act. We'll still be below the salary cap. Come on!
Now, it's time for Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Coming out, yeah!
All right, hour two of the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI, 401-737-1287. Let's talk to Mike in North Providence about the Celtics. Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, I've been, it's not just you. This last week, it's been very, like, sexy to, like, you know, talk about, oh, we should have traded for Kawhi.
No! Couldn't have happened.
We automatically made everything wonderful here. We would have won the championship because he would have been here, and it would have been super awesome, completely forgetting what went wrong with this team. This team imploded.
Preach.
Yeah. It imploded because there were too many people that needed the ball. They were all falling over each other. It's not like they didn't have talent. It was almost like they had too much talent, and they're all fighting each other for possession of the ball. And you're going to replace Jaylen Brown, the guy who was maybe the most oppressed of all of them.
Mm-hmm.
He was the most touch-starved of all the good players on the team, with the guy that was using the ball more than Kyrie. I mean, it could have been the most absurd, you know, dysfunctional team you had ever seen. You know what I'm saying? Where nothing made sense, and Kawhi would have been sitting there like, you know, you ever see Goodwill Hunting where he's tapping his thumbs together, watching the clock, just counting the seconds for the appointment to end?
Yep.
That would have been Kawhi waiting to get the hell out of here. I mean, people forget the ball's bouncing on the rim, you know, in Game 7 against the Sixers, and it falls in. You know, there's so many things. I mean, who sacrificed on the Toronto Raptors, at least amongst the guys who are in the rotation?
Nobody.
Everybody had an appropriate role. That team was Kawhi could go out there and play the Michael Jordan role. He could shoot the ball 30 times. He had a true point guard and Kyle Lowry setting him up. Pascal Siakam was pretty much taking the amount of shots that was appropriate to somebody like him. And it was a bunch of guys that just accepted their role because their role was appropriate to them.
Bingo.
We would have to completely remodel this roster overnight,
Mike,
and make it function.
I want to piggyback off your point a little bit and add the Warriors to this mix of what the Warriors have been. The difference there is you look at them and go, wow, they had a ton of talent everywhere. But what you were just talking about with the Raptors, you can apply to the Warriors. You had people that knew their roles. And you had the younger guys in the starring roles, and you had the veterans knowing what they had to do, either off the bench or supplementing them in the starting lineup. So you had people that knew exactly what they were trying to do. And that was one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest, as you said, with the Celtics this year, was that everyone wanted a starring role and no one was willing to take a back seat.
Yeah, but you know, the thing is a lot of these guys that wanted a starring role were deserving of a starring role. And the reality of the NBA, it was like with Jaylen Brown, right? I brought this guy up to you during the season.
Yep.
It was like Brad said, you know what? I'm going to turn you into Bruce Bowen. Yeah, you could be an all-star. We could give you the ball. You could score 20 points a game and be on the all-star team. But you know what? I'm going to make you Bruce Bowen.
Yeah.
You're going to stand in the corner, and you're going to shoot kick-out threes, and you're going to play defense, right, because I say so.
And
you're supposed to like that, and you're going to get paid half as much money when you come up for free agency.
And
these guys are like, there's no way on earth I'm going to do that. And guess what? 99% of the other players in the league would tell them the same exact thing.
And I have no problem with that. I have no problem with the players doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a completely unreasonable to ask that. In particular, I heard Danny say, oh, they didn't sacrifice. I'm like, sacrifice? Who's going to sacrifice for you, Danny? You have proven time and time again you have zero loyalty to these guys, that you trade them in a drop of a hat. So they're going to cost themselves tens of millions of dollars sacrificing for you and a team that they could not be on, you know, tomorrow? There's no way they're going to do that.
I would
build a rational roster full of guys who have appropriate roles to them. Don't blame them because you put this team together and somehow it's supposed to magically work as you say so.
God bless you, Mike.
Well, I just think that it's tough to it's just tough. You want to acquire the talent. You have to acquire
yes.
the talent. So you can't be that fussy. When talent is there, you've
Correct.
Got to take it. I see. Ideally, yeah, you'd have a team where everybody had the role and they accepted their role and they embraced their role and they were excelling in their role. I mean, that's just – the Celtics didn't have that. I mean, let's see if Pascal Siakam next year doesn't get a massive ego and he wants to be the man. You know, that's sort of what the Celtics dealt with this year. It just so happened that Siakam won the title and didn't lose in the Eastern Conference Finals like the Celtics young guys did.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they had a good balance. I think another problem for the Celtics compared to the Raptors, a lot more veterans. Gasol, Ibaka, Lowry, Leonard. Probably, am I forgetting anybody? I mean, guys that will not tolerate anything from a younger player. The Celtics' problem was they had more younger players, and those younger players arguably were some of the better players on the team. They weren't the first best, but after that, you could argue it's Brown and Tatum Brown right there. So that wasn't the case with Siakam or Van Vliet. At least not when this all started, this run started. So that was something else that the Celtics had to deal with that the Raptors didn't have to deal with. The makeup, yeah, you got to consider the makeup, and I think that's what the coach is supposed to be there for. I don't think Brad Stevens did a good job.
No, he did
not. I mean, identifying what the Celtics makeup was and then making whatever that makeup was work. He didn't do a good job of that or as good of a job as he could have.
Well, one of the biggest problems, I talked about it last summer, was, and I would have done it then, and we said it on this show. Bye-bye, Terry. Go get what you can get for Terry. His value is high right now.
You did say that last year after the run they had in the playoffs.
And I understood why you kept him as Kyrie insurance. I understood it. But I wanted you to make the move because there was no point. There's no point in keeping this guy. And we saw what was going to happen. And what we thought might happen actually happened. He became disgruntled. He wanted more. He even talked about it openly on the ESPN Car Wash a couple of weeks ago. About wanting more minutes, wanting more responsibility.
Terry Rozier, the success the Celtics had last year in the playoffs, Terry Rozier was the worst offender in terms of letting that go to his head.
Absolutely.
More than Jaylen Brown, more than Jason Tatum and the bad Kobe traits that he, whatever, inherited, cultivated over the summer last year. Terry Rozier was the worst one. He never played a good game since that game where he was 0 for 10 from 3 in Game 7 against the Cavs.
But
I
even,
felt like he never
even,
played a good
even
game
when
after
you go
that.
Back and look at the playoffs, he had a couple of really good monster games. Then he had a couple of games where he was absolutely atrocious. Not that he just didn't show up. No, he was a bad detriment to the team. He was a bad player on the court, and he cost them games. So what are you thinking? His ceiling is automatically 30-point night in the playoffs? Well, when the next night he comes back and puts up 2, but he goes, you know, 1 for 15 shooting, what is he really? What is he really at that point? Some people are going to take that gamble.
Barrel
and go,
of suck.
You're going to
go,
his ceiling is high. Let's go get him now before he costs too much. We'll have him in here. Maybe we can use him as a chip and build him around him, whatever. You should have made that move. He ended up being far more of a pain in the ass than I thought he was going to be, but you had to know that was coming. You have to know that's coming. And to be honest with you, I don't entirely blame Terry Rozier for that. Because the way these leagues are set up, you got to prove it to go make that big money.
Yeah.
You know, I don't entirely blame him for wanting to get more touches and wanting to showcase his abilities more. Because he wants to get paid just like everyone else does.
And he, you know what you can give him credit for, I guess? Actions speak louder than words, but he didn't really say much during the year verbally.
No, not really.
He wasn't bitching and complaining verbally. Now, did he act disinterested? Was his game affected by it? Probably. But he didn't say much, so he wasn't a distraction that way. He just went out there and sucked.
Yeah, you know who was a bigger detriment to the team? The guy that actually performed really well on the court in Kyrie.
Yeah.
He was worse for this team. Because not only did you have similar issues, you had problems with him in terms of getting along with the teammates and getting on the same page and everything, but then he'd run his mouth during the season under the guise of being the leader.
Yeah.
Atrocious leader. How did no one smack him in the mouth?
I
how?
Don't...
Do you know what? Jordan... Punch Steve Kerr in the face.
Yeah. I can't wait to see how this Nets thing works out. I can't wait to see if he goes to the Nets.
I'm not advocate. I hope he goes to the Nets. I hope they blow for a long time because that guy deserves it.
Well, I'm sure they won't blow. I'm sure they'll make the playoffs and they'll just be an irrelevant piece. I mean, they're not going to do anything special.
No, I mean, that's essentially what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're going to be the Nets of the 90s and be the worst team in the NBA, but I want them to be essentially irrelevant.
He must just want to go home. He must want to be near home. That must be what this is.
Man, I ain't buying anything with him. He's just a snake in the grass.
He is.
I'm not buying that he really wants to go home.
Well, then what other motivation do you have to go to the Brooklyn Nets?
I don't know. Go to New York? I don't know.
Yeah,
I think he'd rather have been in L.A. than anything.
I mean, he could win in L.A. Davis, LeBron, and Kyrie? It doesn't sound like a championship formula.
It's a good team.
It's a good team. Could easily build around that.
If I have another superstar that's the alpha dog, yes, I absolutely look at bringing someone like Kyrie in. But if I do not have that and you need someone to be the top superstar on your team in this NBA, it's not him.
Yeah. And by the way, let me be on the record with this.
This is a guy that did not show up for Game 7 in the playoffs because he wanted to go do some press availability for some piece of crap movie that's coming out over the summer.
Last summer, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
And how we didn't read more into that at the time, I don't know.
I want to be on the record here, by the way, just with the Lakers, because they're the odds-on favorite to win the championship next year.
Yeah.
Okay? Mm. LeBron James... I'm done with LeBron James. Is he still a very good player? Sure. He's no longer the best player. 34 years old, I'm not going to buy he's the best player in the league.
He's not.
And he's going to be 35, I think, but in the middle of next season.
I'd say he's third or second.
Okay.
You know,
yeah.
He's
is.
One of the. I agree. He's not the best basketball player based on where he is right now and everything like that. You know, you got to look at Kawhi, who can do absolutely everything.
Yep. A healthy Durant, I would put over him right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only question is Durant's not healthy. You know what I mean?
And that's why I don't think if you give him one more piece, I think he needs two. I think he needs Davis and Kyrie.
He's still above Giannis. He's still above Harden. He's still above that second tier. He's still in that first tier, but he's not the best basketball player on the planet anymore.
I don't know.
You think he's in that second tier?
Is he above Giannis?
Yes. Giannis can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
Giannis can't. I mean, LeBron's not the greatest shooter in the world. He's a much better shooter than Giannis.
I think it's close.
I don't think it's that close. Giannis is not a good shooter. And LeBron's sneaky decent.
He is. He's really worked on it. But I think the Lakers need two guys. I think that one guy will get them into the mix. If they want to win the championship, I still think they need two guys. I don't think LeBron and Anthony Davis is going to be enough. I don't. Nope. It's gotta be two guys.
I don't know. What's going to happen with the Rockets? I don't think they're getting rid of Harden, but is Chris Paul gone? The Rockets are going to look different. The Nuggets aren't going to be in the same situation. I don't believe the Nuggets will be
in
the same situation
they
were.
If you agree.
And the Blazers won't be in the same situation they were.
Do you think LeBron, next year, at 34, then 35, can do what Kawhi Leonard did this year in the playoffs? Can he still do that?
Not quite that.
Okay. That's why I think they need more than one guy.
Yeah.
They need more than what now. If they get Anthony Davis and Davis takes a big step forward and turns into the second best player in the league, okay, and then it becomes, and then we're having a conversation, it's Davis's team, it's LeBron's team, which is it? then maybe the Lakers will have enough.
Yeah.
But the Anthony Davis I saw, who just sort of stuffs the stat sheet, I don't know if LeBron can win with just him. Despite the Warriors being down and the Rockets not being the same. I mean, I think the Rockets are still going to be aggressive. We'll see. I mean, I hope that the Lakers don't get Davis. I'm not going to root for the Lakers to get Davis.
No,
But I also don't know if I want the Celtics to get Davis.
I don't. Not where in this
else?
Situation.
He's not going anywhere else.
Fine. Let him hit free agency.
I know, but he's going to go to the Lakers.
Okay, let him go to the Lakers when LeBron's 36. Fine.
Yeah.
Let him go to the Knicks with nobody else. Fine. That is not a team I worry about.
No, the Knicks have already gotten Carmelo Anthony and did nothing. They had Kristaps Porzingis and did nothing.
He's better than Porzingis.
He is.
And Anthony is the most overrated superstar in the history of basketball.
Who is?
Carmelo Anthony.
Right. It's going to be a fascinating offseason with those injuries. It makes the free agency period less exciting. I'll say that.
Yeah,
it's definitely less exciting.
Certainly,
because
Durant and Clay, because maybe one of them decided to end up going down. Clay's from L.A. Daddy played with the Lakers. Maybe he wanted to go to the Lakers.
Yeah, and he's a perfect fit for them too.
Absolutely.
LeBron on the team.
See, that's a different situation. You put that one superstar with LeBron, and I think Clay's a superstar. You put that one, that's a much better team than if you put Davis there.
Yeah, exactly.
In today's NBA, bigs do not control the flow of the game like they used to. It's been a while. The last one that could really do it was Duncan and Shaq before him. But it's rare. They're not the same players anymore.
I don't see a way that the Celtics can become championship contenders next year. I don't see it. Not with Kyrie out the door.
No, I don't.
I don't see that.
But I'm okay with that.
So am I.
That's the difference.
But what I'm not okay with is that with the Warriors out of the picture, the championship is wide open next year. So I would like to be involved in the chase for it.
Well, I think you're still involved in the chase. I think you're still involved. I think you're a playoff team that can make some things happen. The other advantage they have without someone like Kyrie, you spread the floor. You spread the ball around the floor so much better that way. You do not have a two-ball dominant point guard who not only is not going to pass in certain situations, he's going to screw up your whole offense by trying to be Mr. Post-Up for a while. I think their offense is better without him. I think their defense will be better next year because he's not a good defensive player.
We'll see. I'd like to figure out a way that they could compete and contend for a championship. I just don't see how. Anthony Davis comes. Jason Tatum probably leaves. If they can keep Tatum, and have Davis, I'm for that. In whatever way they can make that work, I'm for that.
Who's playing point guard? Who's bringing the ball? Who's facilitating for these guys? Marcus Smart? You love him for his defense. You love him for the intangibles he brings. He's a great leader. Not a great offensive player.
No.
Not a great facilitator, certainly not a good shooter. So you still have a problem there. You bring back Rozier? I don't bring back Rozier.
No way. Can you find somebody, though?
Do you see what happens with D'Angelo Russell? Do you go after Kemba? Chris Paul. I think Chris Paul would be great for this team.
So sign Anthony Davis, acquire Chris Paul.
Okay, now we're looking at a different situation. But even just bringing in Chris Paul onto this existing team, just Paul for Kyrie, I'll take that. Makes more sense.
Yeah.
A point guard that is going to facilitate, who's actually going to play defense.
Chris Paul has had his issues.
He's not a good teammate.
Yeah.
He's not the best teammate in the world, but I think in this situation with this team, with younger players like this, who aren't superstars, who maybe think they're a little bit better than they are, but don't think they're, Blake Griffin.
Yeah.
Or DeAndre Jordan.
What did Paul do that made him not a good teammate? What was his situation?
I think he was just tough to deal with. I think he had a little bit of that Kobe in practice in him.
Okay.
Not that he's moody, that he's just going to challenge you. He's going to call you out. And the other side of that coin is maybe not be as accountable as he should if he's going to also call you out.
I'd love to see Chris Paul here. If they could. Again, though, what are you giving up for Davis? That's a key. If it's just Davis and Paul, that doesn't really do anything.
I don't see how you don't give up Tatum. If I'm Griffin with the Pelicans,
you have to ask for Tatum.
Tatum's the only thing I want, really. Yep. I also want Jaylen. because I like the upside of Jalen. I like what I saw not only as a player but as a man.
So you're saying
last
you'd ask for both?
Yes.
And then maybe settle for just Tatum and something else. Picks. Yeah.
We'll see what it is.
I just don't see them being able to keep Tatum. And
I don't either. I don't either.
And that's what I want. I'm not comfortable giving up
Tatum. A deal package around Jalen Brown, is that enough for the Pelicans?
Unless
I don't think
so. Third
team,
but who's that third team?
Yeah, I don't know. That's the wrench. That's the wrench in all of it.
Would they trade Gordon Hayward? It's a big contract to move.
See, that's the problem is I don't know if anyone will take him because there's time left. There's another year after this next one on it, I believe.
It's a big contract to move, and he hasn't proven it on the floor since getting injured. A lot of questions to ask. June 30th, 6 p.m. is when free agency starts. We get some answers. The draft is before that, though, so there should be – I would think if Davis is getting traded, it's happening before the draft. The Lakers have the fourth pick. When's the draft? June 20th?
Yeah, it would have to.
Lakers have the fourth pick. That's going to be involved in their deal if they trade for Anthony Davis. So I think a trade would have to happen before then. So we'll see. That's the big question. And what's his name? When he was celebrating, was he celebrating the Blues championship? St. Louis native, Jason Tatum? He kind of alluded to, if I'm still here. He wants to build a winner if he's still here. Yeah. So he knows that his name is out there. We'll see. If they can find a way to keep him, I like what they're doing.
That might be my worry with Tatum is does he want to even be here?
He alluded to it.
Yeah. And you've seen it a couple times now.
Yeah.
Seen it a couple times. I don't know if he necessarily wants to be here. If he doesn't want to be here, okay, now we got to look at things a little bit differently. Because my whole plan is predicated on building through the young core of Tatum and Brown.
They want to be here, exactly. If he's going to be a free agent, want to go to L.A. in 2 years, this is such a nauseating conversation about basketball and the NBA. Okay, you got him, and just when he develops, now he's a free agent, and he's going to go to where... And I get it. This is what the player should be able to do.
Yeah, I love it for them.
You should be able to work where you want to work.
It's tough as a fan, but I'm advocating for them. I want them to be. Yeah, I want them to have that flexibility.
Absolutely.
I want them to make as much money as possible. Why? Because I'd rather have the players have it than the friggin' owners. Because the owners don't entertain me.
But it's annoying. You know, it's maddening that they can all just leave.
It's more maddening that we're in this region that's not a attractive destination. That's what makes it more maddening.
But just imagine if this happened in other sports. You know what I mean? This doesn't happen in other sports. But imagine if it did. You finally draft the quarterback of the future. But when he's a free agent at age 26, he's gone because he wants to go to L.A. I mean, that would suck.
Yeah, I want to see this trend of one-and-dones essentially reversed in the NBA. One-and-one deals, you know, 1 year guaranteed, 1 year of a player option. I hate those. I want to see those gone.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand it for the players.
So you're saying let them decide where they want to play, but then when they decide, make them commit long-term.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see that kind of be a little more the trend. Maybe 3 years instead of one. And then maybe you better ask me nicely to come back for more money. I just don't like it.
All right. Again, June 20th is the draft. If there is a trade, I would think it would have to be before then. When we get back, we'll talk about David Ortiz. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WE.
We're back to Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
Back here on the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7 WEEI.
It would be better if everyone was kung fu fighting instead of shooting each other. The optics would be better.
It would be better overall. David Ortiz, as you know, was shot. You know, that was a shocker.
Oh, my God.
It was scary. It was an assassination attempt on David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm shocked. I don't know what to say. It's terrible. I'm glad he's going to be okay.
You don't believe what the shooter was saying out of his jail cell to the journalists about Ortiz wasn't the intended target.
Not at all.
Yeah, I don't believe it
at all. No. This guy is one of the biggest figures that the Dominican Republic boasts.
Literally and figuratively.
Yeah. I'm sure he was the target. I don't know what the reason for the shooting was.
I don't want to jump too far down the rabbit hole of the theories as to why.
We'll never know. Yeah.
We won't. And to be honest with you, let's just look at recent news stories that have come out that the initial story you get is wildly different from what the reality of the situation is. Let's look back at Bob Kraft. What was the first thing you hear coming out? Sex trafficking. It's a huge operation. And then when you look more and more at it, it's very different from what the picture they actually painted.
The one rumor I heard was that he was involved with the wife or the girlfriend of some drug lord down there.
Yeah.
Who knows? There's some rough people down there. Look, if you're from the Dominican Republic, if you live down there, it's a poor area. If you have money, you have power.
Okay, well, hold on. I just want to say something real quick. Yeah, those are both true. Those are both true. But don't you kind of love how we paint that picture? It's a poor area. It's real rough. As if we don't have our own crap going on here consistently that's far worse than what's going on in the Dominican.
Sure.
So we should stop painting that picture. How many times do you see school shootings in the Dominican come out on the news? I couldn't tell you the last time, if ever. How many times do I see that in this country that's a lot richer and a lot better off? All the friggin' time.
Well, I think the assumption is, though, that when something bad happens down there in the Dominican Republic and the police are on the case, you don't know what the hell's going on. You don't know anything about these police officers, how corrupt they are, or they aren't, or whatever. Here,
okay.
Not that there aren't corrupt officers, policemen, whatever, but I think the assumption here is that we're a little bit more stabilized. I mean, we are in terms of an infrastructure and economic situation. So we're a little bit more stabilized, so we have a little bit better resources to go after, and we're a little bit more prepared to deal with some of these things, as awful as these things are. Down there, I don't know if you know what you're getting into, or if people that are here that don't know about the Dominican Republic are confident that they're getting a legitimate investigation, or that they weren't in on it, or who knows. It's awful. I don't know why. I thought Pedro Martinez, you know, he knows Ortiz, made a point. How could you? I mean, this is a happy guy. This is a guy that does a lot for the community. Why would you shoot him or try to kill him? Devastating for Boston. I thought it wasn't. I didn't even think it was real when I heard it at first.
No, I the first time, because I saw it initially as a flash on my phone from, you know, like the ESPN app or something like that. I was like, wait, what? This doesn't make any sense. And then you see the video.
Yeah.
And when you watch that video, there is no way. It seems like anyone else was intended to be the target than Ortiz.
It's a crowded room.
It's a crowded room, and he walked right up to him. Walked right up behind him.
Thank God he didn't kill him.
Oh, no. Are we going to get those calls?
I hope
we're going to get the armchair assassin calls like we do with the armchair doctors and the armchair lawyers. I once broke my clavicle. I was up and ready to go in 2 weeks. Well, in cases like this, you know, I'm not a lawyer, but I've heard a bunch of those. Why don't you just shoot him in the head? How often have you people shot someone else? Let's be honest. How the hell do you know what's going on in that situation? How do you know what you would be thinking in that situation?
Just get him the hell out of there. Bring him back here like they did. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was as bad as it gets. And the way it was carried out is as bad as it gets. I mean,
absolutely.
In a bar, in a public place, they went and they hunted him down and shot him. I mean, he's lucky to be alive.
He's very lucky to be alive. Absolutely. It's a terrible situation. And that just seeing that video is chilling. Absolutely chilling. Someone can just do that at any time. Anytime.
I mean, it's bad, and they're both horrific, obviously. But as bad as the Paul Pierce stabbing was, correct me if I'm wrong, but that was more of an altercation in a nightclub, hotheads, egos, and then one thing led to another, and it was a tragedy. This, like you said, like we say, it was a plan to go hunt this guy down and assassinate him. Different situations. And he's reportedly up and walking around. Is he still in the hospital?
I think he's still in the hospital. I think he's guarded at the hospital too.
I mean, I would hope so. You have no idea what these motives are out there.
All I know is it's absolutely terrible, and it's stunning. It is absolutely stunning that let's take the rumor, the one that's widely spreading. What? Even that. You look and go, why? Still makes no sense.
The hitmen were also offered reportedly $8,000 to kill Ortiz, nine suspects.
$7,800. $400,000 Dominican pesos. I don't know how the difference from differs from a Mexican peso, but
authorities have arrested 9 suspects. See, that concerns me because that's a lot of people
that were
for killing David Ortiz. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do know what you mean. It means at least 9 people. At least. It's a stunning, stunning situation, particularly with a guy you'd never expect it to happen with. It seemed like everyone loved him there. Everyone loved him here. But it also shows you, because I'm sure something else will come from this, it also shows you we don't know these people. Do you remember a couple of years ago after he had retired and all of a sudden there was a gun issue, there was a shooting, I think someone ended up dead, but he wasn't involved in the actual shooting itself. But it was his gun or something like that.
Yeah.
Marvin Harrison never talked. Everyone thought, yeah, he seems like a good guy, but he just didn't ever talk.
Yep.
We didn't know who he was. We didn't know anything really about him. But it turns out he's a little rougher than we thought. He's got a little bit more going on outside of football than we ever thought he did.
I forgot about that. What was it? He had guns?
It was like a Luger, too.
Yeah.
It was like what you would see in like the Nazis use in Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah,
it wasn't just a regular old Glock that you see a million times.
You're exactly right. We don't know these people. Unfortunately, David Ortiz, and again, we have no idea the girlfriend of this drug, we don't know. But we don't know. This guy could be a great guy. He does things for charity. He does this and that. He could be messing around. We don't know.
Ortiz?
Yeah.
We don't know. We had certain slight question marks about Aaron Hernandez.
Yeah.
Couple of things, behavioral things, smoking some pot, whatever. Nobody would have ever jumped to the conclusion that he's a serial killer.
Okay. But with that being said, though, even if he's messing around, whatever's going on, to try to kill him?
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
No. Absolutely not. Wrong. These guys all should go to jail. It's just the fact that there are 9 suspects. I mean, that's like a gang of people trying to kill Ortiz. That's what makes me worried. If it was just one guy or a couple people, it's like, are they going to stop? Are they going to try again? There's 9 of them and probably more.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like they a lot of people have vested interests.
In seeing him dead.
Seeing him dead or hurt or whatever. So that makes me concerned. Stay in Boston. I mean, stay in Boston. Stay up here. Live here, work for the Red Sox, and hopefully that's the end. That was a tragic situation.
Luckily, it didn't end up any worse. Luckily, obviously he didn't die or anyone else. Because the TV host that was with him also got hit, right?
Yeah.
It was Joel Lopez or something
whatever
like that.
His name
he got hit, too.
It could have been bad. It was bad. It could have been horrific.
It's just more stunning than anything.
Yeah.
It's just so surprising. There's certain people you hear get involved in something, and you're like, all right. There's other people, and it's surprising with Ortiz. But again, we go back to, we don't know these people. You see the image. You hear the sound bites. We don't know them.
All right, we'll be back. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show, 103.7.
It's Mark and Kitchen on Sports Radio 103.7 WEEI.
All right, back here, Mark and Kitchen, 103.7 WEEI. Women's World Cup underway.
Oh, boy.
Team USA trounced Thailand in their first game 13-0. Some people had a problem. Did you have a problem?
Nope.
It's not embarrassing. It's not a disgrace, a mockery.
No. It's the biggest stage. Here's why. It wasn't one person just pouring it on. Yeah, Alex Morgan had a great game, 5 goals, 3 assists, broke some records.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Good for her. But I thought what she said after the game, a reporter came up to her, maybe it was Julie Foudy, came up to her and asked her after the game, like, a lot of people are criticizing what you guys did and said it was, unsportsmanlike. She's like, it's more unsportsmanlike if we start babying them and start treating them like we're playing against kids. And on the other side of this, too, I'm not going to celebrate when my teammate scores her first ever World Cup goal. She's been working her entire life for this. I'm not going to celebrate because it happens to be 7-0 at the time. I'm not going to be happy for her. And I thought she was 100% right. Yes, it is more unsportsmanlike if all of a sudden you let up and start babying them because you're treating them like they're just garbage. Oh, we can't do what we'd normally do. They made the biggest stage. You do what you do. And then here's the third part of it. Yeah, you want to pour it on. Why? You want to show future opponents, we're going to beat you down too. You want to instill fear into your next opponent and whatever future opponents lie in front of you.
This is the World Cup.
Yes. They're adults. They're adults. This isn't peewee hockey. This isn't the Mighty Ducks.
Right.
And it's not the Hawks beating around the Mighty Ducks when they don't even have jerseys yet. Right. And they're kids. And you got to be like, listen, we don't need to do this.
This is the World Cup. The highest level of soccer, female soccer there is, any soccer. These are the best teams in the way they qualified. Why? I can't stand these narratives, these soft narratatives. Why would you have an issue with the team? I mean, okay, they scored a few goals. You know, don't let them score. Do I have to stand up on top of the world and applaud them and do all that? No, you don't have to do that.
No, because they beat a really bad team. You don't have to all of a sudden champion them
for
it.
Or rub it in their face or rub their nose in it or anything like that. But I'm not going to have a problem with it.
No.
This is the World Cup.
No.
There are tiebreakers involved. Like you said, there's an intimidation factor. This girl has worked her entire life to have some success. She gets on the field. She scores. This is the World Cup. This is not interscholastic sports.
Let me give you a parallel. Red Sox are in the playoffs. Let's say they're playing the Yankees. Round one. You're up. It's game three of the series, mind you, and it's a split series, 1-1.
Yeah.
You're up in the seventh inning. You're already up 10-0. You going to stop swinging the bats in the eighth and ninth?
No.
No.
But they're professionals. They're men.
What's that? What's
you think
the difference?
There's a sexist undertone here?
From
guys like Dan Shaughnessy?
Maybe.
They're girls. They're
maybe.
Poor little girls. They can't handle this.
They're adults.
They're adults. And this is the World Cup. The World Cup. Not a qualifier, not some friendly, not some throwaway game up in Rochester. The World Cup.
Yeah.
You score, you play, you score. If you keep scoring, you keep scoring. I think Alex Morgan is absolutely right.
She's 100% right.
So there you go.
And she looked beautiful doing it.
She does.
I don't get it. I don't understand why anyone really... It's bad sportsmanship. Well, that's because you're a wuss, and you wouldn't want it to happen to you, and you wouldn't do the smart thing, which is to look inside you and say, how do I get better? You just want to blame someone else.
All right, here's another question.
If I was on that tie team, I'd be like, how do we avoid that happening again?
Yeah. Another question. Is the Raptors NBA championship, I don't want to say illegitimate, but does it have an asterisk because of the injuries that the Warriors suffered?
Nope. No, that's the game. You could have had injuries too. Do the Blues get an asterisk? And the Bruins had some injuries.
Not like the Warriors.
No, but they
you're absolutely right. There's no way.
Detrimental injuries.
See, I think this is a
piss poor baby argument.
There is a damn quote that Bill Parcells once said, and I cannot find it online anywhere. I don't remember where I heard it, where he said it, where it was. I can never find it, and I wish I had the proof that he said it, but I heard that he said it, okay? I think it was when he was... He spent the time with the Dolphins, right, Bill Parcells?
Yeah, he was like essentially the president of the organization.
I think it was when he was with the Dolphins, and he made a comment that was so spot on, and I never hear it discussed. He talked about, because we've related it to the Patriots before, he talked about a culture of injuries. That's the way he phrased it. And he is absolutely right. And I'm not saying that the Warriors have a bad culture of injuries, but it's your responsibility to stay healthy. Now, that's an unfair statement in a lot of ways, but that's the way I think these athletes need to think of it. And if you get hurt and you can't play, well, that's too bad. The sport, the games move on, and you have to continue to play. So, no, there's no asterisk next to the Raptors championship. They were able to stay healthy. Was it just bad luck that the Warriors got hurt? Sure. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was recklessness, maybe it was carelessness. Maybe it wasn't, maybe it was just bad luck. Klay Thompson, that was bad luck. But they were able to stay healthy. Whatever the reason, they stayed healthy. They were responsible and stayed healthy. Again, it's an unfair statement, but that's the mentality that I loved hearing about from Bill Parcells. I think the Patriots, for a while there, needed to apply that. And I think they did. Here's a guy, Dante Hightower.
Mm-hmm.
We heard a lot about during the offseason last year. What did he do to stay healthy? I forget what it was. Did he put on more weight, take some weight off? He was making strides to stay healthy. That is what you need to do. That is avoiding a culture of injuries. He stayed healthy, helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl. Another one. So that's what I think you never can play that card because you stayed healthy. That's a big challenge. That's a big part of pro sports. The best ability, availability. So give the Raptors credit. They had some luck, but every team that wins a championship has some luck.
And they still had to play.
Yeah, they were able to win the games in Oakland. They won the championship. I don't care about the injuries. Nobody's going to remember the injuries. They won. They stayed healthy. Good for them.
They still had to play against a team that had more, quote, stars than them. Even you take those two players out. You still had Steph. You still had Draymond Green.
Like, let me ask you this.
So it wasn't like all of their stars were gone.
Boogie Cousins. He's an all-NBA guy. What's his rating in NBA 2K? 95?
89.
Is it? Do you play that game?
I do, actually.
Okay. So you know awesome. So it's an actual rating you know.
Yeah.
So he's 89. And I go heavily on ratings, Madden ratings.
Yeah, you go
means
too
everything.
Heavily on that.
It means everything.
It's people like you and me putting it out there.
But I'm just saying that is a big part of winning a title. Staying healthy.
Yes.
And that's, you know, is it fair to call a guy, if he has injury after injury after injury, is it fair to call a guy injury prone?
Yeah.
Or is he just unlucky? He's an unlucky dude.
It's both.
It's both. But I think some people are more prone to getting injured. Whether it's a mentality thing, whether it's I don't know.
Klay and Durant were both very prone to getting injured there. Why? Because they were coming off injuries. You put yourself in that situation, especially when you have a leg injury, you're going to start to balance things differently, and all of a sudden you're going to land differently, and then you're going to blow out your Achilles.
But
I don't think Durant blows out his Achilles there if he didn't already have that ankle problem for the previous 3 weeks.
I'm just saying, I think it's there are situations where it's just bad luck. It's just bad luck, and you get hurt. That does happen.
Mm-hmm.
But there are other situations where the culture of injuries, either with the team or with a certain player or groups of players, affects how often a guy might be hurt. Or
flip it on the other side. If Kawhi goes down, is the Warriors winning that title?
No,
fake?
No. Not even close.
No.
But again, I just think that injuries is a part of the game, and you have a responsibility of being out there. And when you're out there, you got to be effective. So there's no way I put an asterisk next to this.
Absolutely
no
not.
Way.
Then you're taking it away from the Raptors as if they didn't deserve it. And you know what? They did deserve it.
I still
it.
Can't believe Toronto won the NBA championship.
I know. It's better than Vancouver. Thank God the Grizzlies are out of there.
Yeah. They didn't last long. And lastly, the Bruins' thoughts on the offseason. You know, I don't really know what to address. I thought they did the best they could getting guys like Charlie Coyle and
Those guys really came to play during
huge,
the postseason.
Huge.
They weren't very good. They were bad additions in the regular season. They didn't give you anything. But once the postseason rolled around, they were excellent for you. Yes?
Another guy, because he didn't really do anything in the playoffs that was under discussed, was Yaroslav Halak. I thought he was a big player for them, giving Rask the time off he needed during the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And allowing
and playing
him
really well.
And playing well. And playing well enough to maybe put some heat on Tuukka.
Yeah, much needed. Here's a Bill Parcells quote for you. Potential means you haven't done anything yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But there were some years there where the Patriots got injured a lot. They always had somebody going down. They always had somebody getting hurt. And I thought that culture of injuries quote was a perfect application to the Patriots situation. I never could find it.
I'm looking. I can't find it either.
Yeah. But I know I heard. I think it was on a... You know where I saw it, I think? On a special or an NFL Network thing where somebody said it. Referring to Parcells. So maybe they don't have any record of it. But
yeah. Here's unfortunately, it doesn't really apply anymore because of the way society is. You don't get any medals for trying something. You get medals for results.
Okay.
I could do Bill Parcells quotes all day.
All right, we'll be back next week. This is the Mark and Kitchen Show. Coming up next, James and Hart. 103.7 WEEI.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.